I'm Danielle Kading, and you're listening to Hear Me Out on Wisconsin Public Radio. Glad to have you with us this Friday. In the next hour, we're talking about chronic wasting disease and deer farms in the state. Earlier this month, a Washington County farm in southern Wisconsin had a buck that tested positive for CWD. This year, 24 deer from that farm were transferred to the Copper Hills Hunting Preserve in Bayfield County. Jane Stoltz owns the Tamarack Deer and Elk Farm with her husband in Washington County. She spoke with me by phone earlier this week about that farm and the family's plans for both properties.
We have a whitetail and elk deer herd and elk herd that we've had since, we built our house and had a farm since 1999. We first acquired animals. And we've been raising them and working with genetics, breeding for breeding farms in both deer and elk since that time. We didn't have children at the time. We do now that are 13 and 15. They've been helping us raise them. My daughter worked specifically with my husband working on genetic traits and how to improve body size, antler size, just genetic health, and working on pedigrees and bloodlines. She wants to be a veterinarian when she grows up, which is not very far from now. So they work on that end of it. I just work on raising our babies and the fawns that we keep as breeding facility. The animals are tame as dogs. They come right in wrapped to you just as if a dog would be. You can pet them, do whatever. They're very affectionate. As if anybody's ever seen any of the farms or zoos where they have petting zoos, and deer are really domestic, and so are the elk. So we've been doing that since that time. We've been enrolled in the CWD program since its inception in 2003, once they came out with that, because we wanted to keep everything as healthy as possible. We've been brucellosis and TB accredited also, because we wanted anything that we could just to stay as healthy as we could and monitor and be involved in all those programs put out by the Department of Agriculture, DATCP, as well as the DNR. So we've followed through with all of those. We've always had 100% testing of all animals that were killed or died on our farm. And up until this last positive, which happened to be on an animal that had been injured, possibly weakening its immune system, that is why it came up positive. We're not sure, because CWD, they're not really sure how it's transmitted. There's been a lot of hypotheses and a lot of things that have been put out there as to whether it's soil, it's food, it's stress, contamination between animals, saliva, feces, urine. They don't really know 100%. They know they can infect rats and mice by injecting it into their cerebral, and that obviously they would come up with symptoms. But other than that, they're kind of across the board in the studies and research and essays that I've been reading on the internet for the last 5 years since we've been dealing with this in our Bayfield County area, building our hunting preserve and established farm up there. We just recently, a couple months ago, just moved up the animals we put up there. Most of them are under a year old, probably 10 months old. There was three others that were a little bit older, just as to get our bloodlines up and started, which we started up there going through the township 5 years ago when my husband was searching for a place, so that after 22 years in law enforcement, he wanted to retire and start doing a hunting preserve. And when he does the hunting preserve, he would be working up there part-time. Him and his dad would be living up there a lot of the time. We have a caretaker that helps out. And they would be running hunts for a small 8 to 10 number of people a year with donated hunts to veterans, disabled people, young, terminally ill patients. We've talked with and dealt with that with other farms. And that was kind of our plan. So we searched for a piece of property, found this one in Bayfield County, contacted the local government and township chairperson about what we needed to do for any type of special permitting activities for fencing or farming. And we're told that there was nothing specific, that they had followed and adopted the state statutes on fencing certificates, and they had no definition of a game farm. So everything was a go. So we started the process, continued in communication with the chairperson, because that we purchased the property, did not have money. We had part of it in a forest managed law property of a tax break. We did not, but the prior owner did. So we wanted to take that out because we were told it had to be removed before we could actually have a deer farm on it. So we didn't have money because it was a lot that we had to spend to take it out of there. So we sent them letters saying, well, we're not going to take it out this year. They said, well, you have it reassessed next year or have it looked at once it's fenced in, it would be considered agricultural. 120 of it is zoned agricultural at this time. The remainder is done in F1, which is 265 acres of it, is in that type of a property, which after a year and a half, we come up to 2 years, then we were going to go and apply for this special use permit, which is what they told us was necessary to put animals onto this. So we went in front of the board, and they suddenly had a new definition and said that we could not put livestock onto this forested land, even though everybody around the whole surrounding area and most of the county does have special use permits for putting cattle, horses, sheep, goats, pigs, chickens, everything on forested land, because they haven't had things, I think, rezoned for since 1970. So we went in front of the board to have that looked at and were shot down immediately because they said somehow they had never gotten the notification that the forest managed law land was removed, even though we had done it as of January 1, I believe, that year. And this was in the fall when we were applying for this permit. So when we contacted the DNR, they said, oh, we were so busy, sorry, we didn't get it listed, or this, that, whatever. So the ruling was made on the fact that they could not do that, as well as the fact that they thought it was not in their 100-year program or their plan of the future use of Town of Ulu for putting livestock onto the forested land, which after that was put to us, and it was quite the shock because most the whole time for a year and a half, we've been putting money into it, cutting fence lines 3.5 miles for the whole entire perimeter of the property, bought fencing material, going along with, of course, thinking all along that we're going to be able to put this up because we're following all the rules, we're doing all the regulations, we're doing all the permitting, and then get shot down. So that was a pretty big disaster. We went ahead
Gina,
and hired a lawyer.
Gina, I just want to interrupt you on the regulations related to the permitting, because I know that you've had disputes related to how it should be, what permits you should have in hand because of the zoning and everything in Bayfield County. But I also wanted to go back to what you had said earlier about the discovery of the positive test for chronic wasting disease in a buck on your farm. And that was the Washington County farm, not the Bayfield farm.
Correct.
Or the Bayfield County farm.
Yeah.
And so, but the concern that county officials in Bayfield County, the concern that they've raised is that they're fearful that some of the deer you transferred from the Washington County farm to the Bayfield County farm may have the disease, and thus it's putting the wild deer herd at risk in Bayfield County. Is that what they've said?
Yes, that's what they've said. So the Department of Agriculture has had placed a quarantine on both of our properties, and they recommended doing a depopulation up at this Bayfield County farm, which we are complying with and will do as quickly as they want to come out and start taking care of it, because we want to have all the animals removed, all of them 100% tested, and when they're cleared, then it is cleared and free. We, in all the studies and research, they show they sometimes can detect CWD in animals that are younger, and so most of them don't, I guess, contract it at a younger age. So being almost, I think, 20 animals are all of that under one-year-old status, so they're about 8 to 9 to 10 months, depending on their birth date. The likelihood of anything being positive is very slim, but either way, we're getting everything depopulated so that it can be checked. And the three older ones obviously will be depopulated too. So everything will be removed. They will come and take it from the premises, have it tested at a lab just to make sure that there is nothing that's positive up there.
And this is just at the Bayfield County, or are you doing this at both farms?
Nope, we're not doing anything at the current farm because the current farm is at our house and it's a breeding facility that has both the deer and the elk, and that is where the one came from. But in order to remove everything there, we are under quarantine, so we don't, it's not a mandatory depopulation at this point. So we kind of voluntarily said we would do that up there because we obviously don't want to have any question that there's anything that's been contaminated or question that's up there. At our own home, the Department of Ag is still working up a herd process of how they want to handle that situation down here by us. I am still waiting to get DNA results back from that animal that was tested because in some of the research I've done, there has been false positives that have come out of labs, not just from mishandling, but there are things that can happen in contamination of slides and of brain stems and the things that they use. So we are, that's in the process by a private lab that the Department of Ag has sent those flies to. So that's going to be done. So before I start killing my family's pets that my children have been raising for the last 19 years and they have them all named, I'm not shooting anything at our farm until I get some proof positive that we actually have a problem. And obviously, if we have a problem, then we're going to go ahead with what the Department of Ag would recommend in their protocol of how to manage the herd.
Well, how is this impacting your family, you know, the fact that you're going forward with depopulating the herd in Bayfield County?
Well, obviously, that's pretty devastating just as far as our livelihood, because my husband has spent the last 5 years of his life spending time up there doing all this preparation, cutting the fence line, doing all these things to the letter by the law of what he had to do for DNR, to do the fencing certificate, to do Department of Ag recommendations of whole area containment and just everything that has to be done for a hunting preserve and deer farm. So we've complied with everything, and he's been working on that, spending every extra dime that we have, so in 2 years he can retire and do this. So now all of a sudden, when someone comes in and says, okay, you're quarantined, we're going to kill everything, it's pretty devastating. The amount of monetary value of the animals that we sent up there is pretty high. There's only, I think, two that the kids actually really knew up there, because anything that we were putting up there were not going to be hand-raised. We didn't want to have pets that we were going to go up and shoot because we wanted them just wild. So the kids aren't attached to these young deer that are up there. Obviously, it's going to be heart-wrenching to see that, you know, we've spent all this time and effort and seeing their moms raising them at our farm and then shipping them up there and knowing they're all going to get shot. But we do hunt, and we know that we hunt and we eat. So that's, you know, obviously they know that's it. But in order to come to our house and start shooting and killing all the pets that we've had by name, and our oldest doe is 19 years old, that's pretty tough. And just monetarily for us, as, you know, my husband in law enforcement for 22 years, serving the public, taking care of people, to now just have everything just stripped away as if we have no control over our own private land, it's pretty devastating.
Well,
I mean, if anybody came in and told you to kill all your pets in your house for a disease that they're not sure exactly how it's contracted or how it's even spread, it'd be pretty harsh.
Well, what do you say to people like, you know, officials in Bayfield County or others who have been critical of deer farms and say that it's a major vector for spreading the disease or for transmitting it?
Well, it's completely false, because if you tested, and I did research on this when they started fighting us, you know, 3 years ago, if you test in any state, you will find it. The only reason they're finding it on deer farms is because we test 100% of anything that we kill or dies. So if you did that in the wild, you would be finding a lot of positives everywhere. There are some states who do not want to test and will not test. There are states who test in elk herds out in Wyoming, and they have 50% infection rate in the Wind Cave River system. Yet their elk herd numbers are so high, they can't keep up with the population. They have to keep on moving out herds into surrounding areas of refuge because they just keep overpopulating. So it's not like it's this devastating, everything's going to die so fast. It's most deer could be carrying it or have it and never, ever show a symptom, because they're going to get killed by the time they're 2, 3, and 4 years old. And even some of these depopulated farms where they've been, the healthy deer, the heavy, healthy fat ones are the ones they're finding this positive on, and they've exhibited no symptoms. I mean, everyone that I've talked to and all the research I've done, it's just very few. But you're finding it on deer farms because we're the ones testing 100% of anything that dies.
Well, there's also been calls by some that deer farms should be under more regulation. You know, there's been all this talk about double fencing. What do you think about the regulation of deer farms right now and where it's at?
It's pretty intense already. I mean, it's just kind of like gun laws. We have so many out there. Let's just keep using them. We have so many that are being regulated right now. Double fencing, I mean, if a deer sneezes, they think maybe snot's going to fly and contaminate something from 10 feet away. They can put deer in with other deer, and research is what they keep on floundering around with, saying they're not sure if it's caused by them eating the soil. They think or hypothesize that it's from saliva being contracted back and forth between two, but for them to be able to say it's actually being transmitted as another disease that we know would be like TB or, you know, any of the bovine diseases, they can pinpoint that. But with CWD, it's a big gray area. I mean, I've read so many studies how, yeah, if you take infected tissue and inject it in a brain of a mouse, they'll get it. But they can also take hay that's been contaminated with the prion protein, and they'll get it just from that. So now we're talking hay being sent all over the country from farms and who knows where in the middle of America, in Nebraska, Oklahoma, or wherever they grow it, what if it's contaminated with it? That could be sent all over and our animals are eating it and they're contracting it. You know, bottom line is there's so many rules and regulations, and if you're up to date, which we have been and we've always been as strict as we can be with any of our fencing, we've had people inspect them up at the Bayfield and down here, DNR, coordinates, GPS, year after year, we've always been there and they always say we're exemplary. That everything looks unbelievable. When they inspected it for the first time up in Bayfield, the DNR people were a little bit sketchy and kind of questioning as they get on the property. And by the time they were done walking 3.5 miles, said, wow, we've never even seen a fence that looks this good. 10 feet high, how many feet apart for the posts? We made everything as heavy duty as possible so nothing would be coming and going. So, I mean, we've followed all these restrictions. We've followed all the regulations. We've followed all the rules. So there's actually a lot in place right now, and most obviously conscientious deer farmers. Of course, in any profession, you're always going to have slackers in anything. I mean, you can have cattle farmers that are abusing their cattle. I mean, they're, you know, think they're good, but you don't know what goes on behind there. So I mean, there's always going to be a few rogue people who aren't following standards, but the majority of anyone that we've ever been in contact with in deer farming have been just exemplary private citizens running a business, just like farmers. And that's what it is. Deer are livestock, elk are livestock. They're served animals labeled by the Department of Ag as livestock, and that's what they should be treated on.
You were just listening to Jane Stoltz, co-owner of the Copper Hills Hunting Preserve and the Tamarack Deer and Elk Farm. Up next, we hear from Bayfield County about their concerns with the positive CWD test on the Stoltz's southern Wisconsin property. Zoning and Planning Director Rob Shearman explains why they asked the owners and the state to depopulate the herd in Bayfield County.
The depopulation would lead to testing of all the animals that are in quarantine right now on the farm in Ulu. So we want to know if any CWD has been brought to Bayfield County.
I guess why does the county want to know? Because of concerns for the wild deer herd?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's the hunting culture and hunting in general in Bayfield County is one of the major economic drivers. And any instability in that hunting culture and the property values, there's so much that is taken into consideration if there was a positive test.
It seemed like there were some disputes over permits or zoning. Some of the land is zoned agricultural and some is zoned forestry. And can you kind of explain what was going on there?
Yes. Within their approximate 400 acres, the majority of the property is zoned forestry, but there is 120 acres that is zoned agricultural. So farming of any type requires permitting in the forestry zoning district, whether that's a game farm or just general farming as people understand it. Farming on agricultural zone property is permitted by right. The problem that came to light is that the state has defined farm-raised white-tailed deer as domestic animals. That doesn't necessarily sit well with most people when they think about it. We don't think that farm-raised deer are domestic animals, but there's a definition in state statute that says that they are. Our zoning ordinance allows for farming as a permitted use in agricultural zoning, and our definition of farming includes domestic animals. So we couldn't tell the operators of the Copper Hills farm that they can't farm domestic animals when our ordinance says that domestic animals can be farmed in agricultural. And the state's definition of domestic animals includes farm-raised deer. So we came to an agreement that Copper Hills could farm for food and fiber production deer on their agriculturally zoned property. The problem is that the agriculturally zoned property wasn't isolated with a fence from the forestry property. So when the operator populated the farm with the animals from southern Wisconsin, he let them go all across the property. So they're on the forestry property and the agriculturally zoned property, which constitutes a violation because he doesn't have permits to raise deer inside a fence on the forestry's own property.
So is the problem here for Bayfield County the fact that he didn't follow the proper permits, or is it more an issue of Bayfield County would rather have not seen this farm in the county in the first place but has to because of state standards?
I think that's pretty accurate. The application for the hunting preserve was denied. They would have needed a game farm permit to do the pay to hunt on the agriculture zone property. So they applied for that, and they applied for the farming, the game farm in the forestry. That permit was denied by the Planning and Zoning Committee, and that denial was subsequently upheld through an appeal to the Board of Adjustment by the applicant. Once we got digging into the details of farming and domestic animals and whitetail, farm-raised whitetail deer being included in that definition, was when we had to back off our stance a little bit on that agriculturally zoned land. And because the state considers farm-raised whitetail deer domestic animals, and our ordinance says that on agriculturally zoned property, you can raise domestic animals, we had to allow that use.
But is Copper Hills the only deer farm in the county?
No, there's one other one, Twin Creek Nature Preserve, I think they call it, in the town of Eileen. And there used to be one in Bayfield, right on the outskirts of the city of Bayfield, that was owned by Stan Stevenson, which has not had animals on it in a long time.
So there's one other deer farm currently operating in the county?
Correct.
Okay. And so, you know, I know this is something that may come up in the future. And with current operations, what does the county want to see happen?
The county wants to be sure that CWD doesn't get into Bayfield County. I think in the future, if requests come forward, there may be, if they ever allow a use like that, it would be with double fencing to keep the farm-raised deer herd isolated from the wild herd. But it's just a... There's so much not known about CWD, how it's transported. Does it go from birds to the deer? How does it move around in the environment? They just don't know. So the transmission, maybe they'll figure it out sometime. I don't know.
So do you feel like there's heightened concern over deer farms as opposed to finding CWD in the wild?
There seems to be more of a concentration in the deer farms. I guess I'm not an expert on that, but that may be because the farm-raised deer are required to be tested more often. It's not necessarily readily available for an average hunter in Bayfield County to have his deer tested for CWD, which I think might be a good idea.
Is to start having hunters submit more deer for testing for CWD?
Yes, I think that would be a good idea. I know that after I've shot a deer, I thought, boy, it would be good to have this tested, but they're doesn't seem to be an easy process for that in Bayfield County.
Because funding for her sampling has dropped off, or what do you think is the issue there?
I don't know. You'd think that the DNR would be making it easier for hunters to have their deer tested. But then again, a positive test would be devastating to a local community.
Do you want to see more CWD sampling this year?
Personally, as a hunter, I would like to have the opportunity more readily available for me to bring my deer after I've shot them to have them tested. That would give me and my family peace of mind knowing whether or not we have contaminated meat in our freezer.
Well, what happens next? Now that you've learned from DATCAP that they're working with the deer farm owner to depopulate the herd, what happens now?
Well, it's not a fast process. As much as everybody would like them out of there right now or yesterday, that's not a reality. It takes a lot of coordinating of resources. I hope that none of the deer test positive. I hope that the property can be opened up to wild deer again. I don't know if the operator intends to continue. There's just a lot unknown.
And if the operator does choose to continue, is the county going to do anything different or have any kind of discussions about what they'd like to see with the property if more deer are introduced?
Well, we would absolutely like to see the forestry property separated from the agricultural property to ensure that if there are deer on the agricultural property, that they stay put on the agricultural property. The layout of the property lends itself to having, it would basically be a pen inside of a fence, because the agriculturally zoned property is on the interior of the property as a whole. So it would further separate the farm-raised deer from the wild herd.
Anything that you'd like to say to the owners of the farm?
Well, I've appreciated the candor in open conversations that I've had with the owners of the farm. We've been able to work through all the issues up to this point in a civil manner. I feel for him and his family. They've invested a lot of time and money into this project. They took a lot of pride in what they did. You could tell from how they spoke about it and the records that they kept. It's unfortunate to see anybody's business plan not play out the way they intended and potentially dissolve. So I feel for him and his family. I know that his daughter for sure wants to be a veterinarian and is very interested in the project. So, you know, life happens. Things don't always go the way you plan. It's unfortunate. I hope that everything works out for them in the long run.
And is there anything that you'd like to see from the state as it relates to deer farms and CWD?
I sure would like to see the definition of domestic animals modified to take the farm-raised deer out of it. That would be helpful, I think.
So then that would essentially negate the possibility of having deer farms, though, right?
Well, you can still have deer farms. There's a permitting process we have for game farms through the conditional use process. But to consider farm-raised deer domestic animals just doesn't seem right to me. And as that definition would allow for raising of white-tailed deer on agriculturally zoned property.
So does that mean then that the county would have more local control if it was defined under a game farm as opposed to a deer farm?
Even though there is a definition of domestic animals, we've included cervids, deer and elk, in our definition of game farms. So a subsequent request on property other than the agricultural property that Dirk is using right now would require a conditional use permit for a game farm.
And so then the county would have more power to decide whether or not that would move forward.
Correct. Yeah, there would be a public hearing process. It wouldn't just be permitted by right.
Anything else I'm missing that you want to add?
No. The county board members and the county as a whole want everybody to know that this is a very important concern for all parties involved, and we're doing everything we can to rectify the situation.
Again, you were just listening to Bayfield County Planning and Zoning Director Rob Shearman. We're going to take a short break for these announcements. I'm Danielle Kading, and you're listening to Hear Me Out on Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, I'm Danielle Kading, and you're listening to Hear Me Out on Wisconsin Public Radio. Glad to have you with us on this Friday. In this hour, we're talking about chronic wasting disease and deer farms in the state. Just before the break, we heard from Jane Stoltz about their Washington County farm in southern Wisconsin. Earlier this month, a deer there tested positive for CWD. We also just heard from Bayfield County's Rob Shearman about why county officials want to see a herd there depopulated because of its links to the southern Wisconsin farm. Up next, we hear from State Representative Nick Milroy. The Northern Wisconsin lawmaker sent a letter to the Wisconsin Department of Ag earlier this month after the discovery of CWD on the Stoltz's farm. He talks about what more he'd like to see from the state in its efforts to oversee deer farms and chronic wasting disease.
One of the big things that I would like to see happen is any deer farm that is found to have CWD, I think the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection that regulates these deer farms needs to look back at the last 5 years to see which animals have been transferred off of these farms and where they've gone to. If they've gone to other farms in Wisconsin, those animals need to be tested. If they've left the state, we need to warn the farms outside of the state that these deer could potentially be diseased.
So basically, anytime a deer is transferred from a deer farm or a deer herd in the state, that you think that they should be tested, whether or not there's any suggestion of chronic wasting disease?
No. Once a farm is found to have the disease on it, I think that's when you have to retroactively look back at the last 5 years to see which animals have been transferred off of that specific farm. And then those deer need to be identified, they need to be tested, and if they were transferred out of state, I think it's the responsible thing to do is to notify the farms that those deer were transferred to that these deer could potentially be diseased. And the reason for that is CWD is a disease that may not show symptoms for many years, so it can lie dormant in an animal before it shows any symptoms. So by the time it gets to the point where we detect some of these animals being diseased on specific farms, it might have been on that farm for 5 or more years.
So do you, I guess, why have you written this letter now? What's prompting this?
I wrote the letter. I've been working to try to get people to recognize the seriousness of CWD, and one of the major vectors of transmission has been from game farms, and we have very lax regulations on game farms. And it recently came to my attention that the most recent farm that was found to be CWD positive has had animals that were transferred to northern Wisconsin in Bayfield County specifically. And my biggest fear for our wild deer herd is that CWD is going to spread to every corner of the state. We've done a pretty good job at limiting the spread. It's really only found in the southern half of the state right now. I don't want to see it get to northern Wisconsin, and I think the only way it's going to get here is through one of these transfers from an infected farm.
Are you saying then that deer farms are more likely to spread chronic wasting disease than the wild deer herd?
They are.
Well, what about the wild deer in Lincoln County that tested positive earlier this year? You know, that wasn't a deer farm, but it tested positive in the wild in northern Wisconsin.
I suspect that any deer that is away from the major hotspots of CWD infections, any deer that tests positive is likely the result of a transfer from a deer that was at a deer farm. Even if it's a deer in the wild, there's very lax regulations for these deer farms. They're not required to have double fencing. They're not required to have electric fencing. There's been several instances where deer have escaped from these deer farms, and it's only a matter of time before, you know, this disease spreads if we don't get a handle on the regulations of deer farms.
Well, I know last fall when Secretary Dan Meyer, Department of Natural Resources Secretary Dan Meyer, was up at the Northern Economic Summit, he voiced support for double fencing of deer farms. But why do you feel like regulations are lax? Do you feel like they're lax with the fencing issue, which the Department of Natural Resources oversees, or do you feel like it's lax from the State Department of Ag and their testing and sampling, or is it all of it?
I think it's both. I think that you have an industry, there's almost 500 farms in Wisconsin. Some of these operations are multi-million dollar operations, and they have a very strong lobby down in Madison, so they don't want to see any more regulation on their industry, and they certainly don't want to have to pay for more fencing on their farms.
Well, the number of deer farms is decreasing statewide. Just according to the Department of Ag website, they say that there are just under 400 deer farms now in the state. I think last year it was around 412. You know, and anytime a deer is killed or found dead or is shipped to be slaughtered, the Department of Ag does testing and sampling of those deer on those farms that are enrolled in the CWD herd status program. So is the problem that more farms aren't enrolled in this program, or do you feel like they need to be doing more sampling than what they currently are doing, or what is the lax regulation part?
Well, I think any deer that is harvested or killed on these deer farms should be tested. And the reason for that is this disease is most likely to spread when you have high concentrations of animals. And that's exactly what you have on these deer farms. And I think if we were to test every deer that was killed off of a deer farm, we would have a better understanding of how broad this problem might be in Wisconsin.
So for those that, you know, aren't required to test 100% of the deer that die or are killed, you'd like to see all deer that pass away on these herds, that they're all tested.
Correct. And I think that's a reasonable thing to ask. It's less than $100 to have a deer tested. And many of the animals that are killed on deer farms are shot by hunters that pay thousands of dollars to kill these animals.
Well, do you feel like the cost of sampling or testing is a factor at all? I mean, you know, when this disease was first discovered in Wisconsin, I think it was in 2001 or 2002, you know, at that time, we were putting, at the early part of that decade, we were putting $2 million into testing and sampling. And in 2016, it was less than $500,000. I mean, what do you think about the resources that we're devoting to sampling and testing?
That's a good question. I think we need to continue to monitor the spread. So I think a lot of the testing should be done around the edges, kind of where we know where the infection is in the wild. But I think more attention should be placed on deer farms versus worrying so much about the wild herd.
But why? I mean, because in the last, since 2001, only 19 farms have tested positive, according to the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture. Mm-hmm. Only 19 farms have had a positive test for CWD, and there have been 11 herds that have been depopulated or killed because of that. I mean, when you're talking about 19, 20 farms out of, you know, 376, why are the deer farms the sole focus?
For two reasons specifically. One reason is the fact that these are private deer farms that people have an extreme amount of capital in. So some of these farms are multi-million-dollar operations, as I mentioned, and the taxpayers are on the hook for when we have to depopulate these farms. So if we don't get a hold of the spread of CWD from farm to farm, if it gets to the point where the department determines that they have to depopulate these farms, the taxpayers are going to end up paying for it. And we've had to do that. One egregious case was in Eau Claire County, and it cost taxpayers over $300,000 to depopulate the farm. The second issue is ensuring that this disease does not spread from farm to the wild population. So this is really an economic issue for all of Wisconsin. Our deer hunting is a billion-dollar industry. The deer farm industry is rather large in Wisconsin. And if it gets to the point where we have to shut down all of these farms or pay to have all of the animals from these farms depopulated, it's going to be quite expensive.
So what do you say to the deer farmers who say that we've been complying with state regulations? We do the testing, we do the sampling, we put up fencing, we're doing everything we can.
I don't have any bones with the deer farmers. I believe that the vast majority of them are doing what they are required to do. My issue is that they're not being required to do enough. So we need stronger regulations to ensure that CWD is not going to spread from deer farms to wild populations. And we also need to make sure that deer farms are being tested on a regular basis so they know if their investment is in jeopardy. This whole idea is not only to protect the wild deer herd, but it's also to protect the hundreds of millions of dollars that people have invested in these deer farms. If I was a deer farmer, I would want to be doing everything I could to ensure that this disease was not making it onto my farm.
Again, you were just listening to State Representative Nick Milroy. We're going to take a short break for these announcements, but when we come back, we'll hear from state veterinarian Dr. Paul McGraw. He talks about the state's oversight of chronic wasting disease and deer farms and why he believes they are not a major pathway for spreading CWD. I'm Danielle Kading, and you're listening to Hear Me Out on Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, I'm Danielle Kading, and you're listening to Hear Me Out on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for tuning in. In this hour, we're talking about chronic wasting disease and deer farms in the state. Earlier this month, a Washington County farm in southern Wisconsin had a buck that tested positive for CWD. That farm has links to a deer herd in Bayfield County. Up next, we hear from state veterinarian Dr. Paul McGraw with the Wisconsin Department of Ag. He talks about state regulation of deer farms and what happens when deer test positive for chronic wasting disease.
When that happens, the Department of Agriculture is notified. We get all those lab test results, and we rapidly quarantine that farm. We have a list of folks that we notify. you know, and including a press release about a positive farm. And once that quarantine is issued, that says that no animals can move on or off the farm. And then we begin our trace backs, looking at any animals that may have been moved to that farm or from that farm in the previous 5 years. We actually go back. During that investigation, we found out that 24 deer had been moved to the Bayfield Hunting Preserve. They were moved legally, and they were moved on a certificate of veterinary inspection, and they were moved prior to CWD being found in that breeding farm in Washington County. That did result in a quarantine of those deer on that Bayfield premises also.
And so when you go back 5 years to look at where animals came from or whether they were transferred in or out, have you found any other? I mean, did these animals originate from this farm or have they been transferred from other locations as well?
So the animal that tested positive was actually born on this farm in Washington County. So that's an indication that it got infected while it was there. Now, this farm has been on the chronic wasting disease herd status program, which may be a little background on overall regulation at deer farms and what we do. You know, they're all anyone that maintains deer are required to register with the department and have a farm-raised deer keeper registration. And then we have a couple different levels. One would be a farm that may just want to have pets in their backyard. Well, they don't have any additional requirements other than they do have to test deer that die or they kill. Now, a farm like the Washington County Farm is a breeding farm that can buy and sell deer. They're required to be on this CWD herd status program, and that's a federally approved program. With that comes an annual census. They have to report to DACAP all the official identification of the deer, any deer that are purchased or sold. Every 3 years, that census is verified by an accredited veterinarian. And they're required to test every deer that dies or that they kill on the farm. And for the first 5 years of being on that program, they would have to test all the deer that are sold to slaughter. So we have a high level of testing going on that farm. So that's you know, the first step that we know that this farm, anything that purchased would have been from another status herd. So we didn't find any deer that moved in or moved out that brought this disease in. This deer got infected on that farm.
So what does that say then? I mean, what do we know about how deer contract chronic wasting disease?
Well, we know that a positive deer sheds it a lot of ways, you know, through the saliva, through fecal material or urination. You know, the prion can be spread from a deer that is infected. And so we know that we have CWD in Wisconsin. You know, certainly we know that there's lots of areas that have a high prevalence of CWD. We also know that this prion that causes chronic wasting disease, it doesn't die, if you will, in the environment very rapidly, meaning it can survive. It can attach to soils, especially clay soils, helps it bind and maintain its infectivity. And that may still be, you know, infective for up to 5 years. So we can extrapolate that there's ways that that could be moved, you know, from a carcass that dies in the wild. Predators could move the prion, certainly birds of prey, but also maybe contaminated feed. You know, if some of that prion got raked up in a bale of hay is one option.
And prior to this positive test on the Washington County farm, there had been no other positive tests of CWD there?
Correct, yeah. So they had been testing all along, following all the regulations, and now all of a sudden, you know, this year one of those deer tested positive.
Well, a Northern Wisconsin lawmaker, Representative Nick Milroy, has sent a letter to the Department of Ag requesting information about deer that have been transferred and testing. And I guess, you know, he said that in this letter that it appeared that positive tests of CWD in deer farms were on the rise. Is that true from what you're seeing?
So we have nearly 400 deer farms in the state, and a really very, very small percentage have tested positive. And you know, so I can't say that it's on the rise, although we do know that we do find new detections on farms, and that's because our surveillance is working. We're requiring testing of deer that die or are killed. you know, all the deer are tested on a deer farm, you know, that die or they kill on the farm. So that gives you a really high level. So what I can say is when one does get infected, however they got infected, we find it really quick. You know, it's detected really early on in the infection.
And I wanted to go back to what you had mentioned before about the quarantine of these two farms. Under what circumstances do you lift the quarantine or go the other route and depopulate the herd?
Well, each situation is, determined on what the opportunity is for the farmer. Now, you know, this is private property. They haven't done anything wrong. This is a legal enterprise, what they're doing. Farm-raised deer are defined as livestock by our state statutes. So, we look at what the options are for that that farm, and then if we do move to depopulation, they would have to agree to indemnity payments and agree to a herd plan going forward on what could happen with that property. So each farm is, you know, looked at as a whole, and, sometimes there's federal indemnity available. Frankly, in Wisconsin, that has not been available because of we have CWD in the wild. Therefore, it's more likely that a farm would get CWD in Wisconsin.
But are you seeing that it's more likely that deer farms would contract CWD because it's found in the wild?
So we know there's a lot of ways that the prion can move. So when you have a state like Wisconsin or Colorado where CWD has been in the state for a long period of time, then yes, there's lots of ways that prion can move into a deer farm other than through a live deer moving it.
Well, I know other people have voiced concerns about deer farms, and some have said that it's a major pathway for transmitting or spreading the disease. Is that a fair statement or no?
I don't believe so because, deer farms in general are tested to a very high degree. And, so like I said, we find it early. We detect it early on a deer farm. You know, if you look around, you know, there's been wild killed carcasses moved from Colorado for decades, you know, from known CWD endemic areas. So there's lots of ways this prion has moved all across the country. Deer farms are certainly one of those, but there's lots of other methods that the prion has moved.
And has there ever been a farm that was placed under quarantine that didn't have their herd depopulated or that quarantine was lifted?
Those are two different questions. Once a facility, once a location is known to be positive, we have not lifted any quarantines. If a herd is depopulated because it was positive, we would require as part of that quarantine and herd plan that farm maintain those fences for at least 5 years. That's what the science says, that prion could still be infectious for 5 years. So after that 5 years is up, then and there's no more deer, you know, like that whole time, then the quarantine may be released. We do have hunting preserves in Wisconsin that we have currently four locations that have had positive CWDs that have not been depopulated.
Okay, and are they still quarantined then as part of that five-year period?
Yes, they are quarantined. Nothing leaves those farms alive.
So then how do you determine after 5 years that there is no more presence of the disease? I mean, because you can only test for it through when they're dead, right?
Right. Again, if the farm is depopulated and there's no deer on that premises for 5 years, then we release the quarantine.
If the farm is depopulated?
Right.
Okay. But
we've never had a farm that hasn't continued. Once they have positives, they have always continued to have positives. So the only way you're going to not get new positives over that 5 years is to depopulate.
So why does the Department of Ag not require depopulating the herd once they've discovered the disease?
Well, for example, a hunting preserve could continue to operate. You know, if they have their own breeding farm there, then they could continue to operate, which would allow them to continue to have the hunts. And you don't have the state paying for the indemnity to take out. And a lot of times those are on large properties also.
Do you think overall that farmers are following state standards or no?
Yes. We inspect farms. We do records inspections all the time. Again, they are required to submit an annual census. And then every 3 years, they have to have that census verified by a veterinarian. And so when we find noncompliance, one of the first tools we have is to take away their herd status program, which means they aren't allowed to move live deer then. So if they're not following the rules, you know, we take action on those farms.
What do you think it is that people should know? Because there's a lot of fear out there about how CWD is spread and trying to prevent its spread. What is important for people to know in your mind about deer farms and how they're regulated?
Well, I think that we've touched a lot of the important pieces. I don't think the general public understands the amount of regulation that deer farms are under. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't get infected, as we continue to show. Occasionally, a deer farm does get infected. How that happens, I can tell you that these last few farms, we're not finding a deer that moved in that traced back to another positive farm. Okay, that's just not very common that that's the case. So what people need to understand is that we have a CWD issue in Wisconsin. We've got chronic wasting disease on some deer farms, and we have it in the wild. We don't know all the ways that this can move. We know that there's potential contamination that it can move. We certainly know it can move on carcasses that are positive. So, you know, biosecurity across the board. Where are you moving your carcasses? How are you disposing of them? Don't dispose of a carcass out in the woods where scavengers could get at it. Be concerned about where we're moving our feed into other deer farms. Those are things that the deer farm industry needs to be concerned with.
Again, you were just listening to State Veterinarian Dr. Paul McGraw with the Wisconsin Department of Ag. That's it for our program. You can hear it again online on our website at wpr.org/superior. You can also find us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/KUWSFM, and you can check us out on iTunes under Hear Me Out. You've been listening to Hear Me Out on Wisconsin Public Radio. We hope to have you back with us again next Friday. Until then, have a great weekend and happy Easter.